Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, podcast where two bitty fun fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo with Kate. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Harrington. Oh. That acted like I hadn't used my voice for hours when we've just been chatting for like 30 minutes. But my voice still decided to go, right, you're live, are you, on a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
I've just downed this Ribena and my mouth feels
Stand
like
it.
it's so sweet that my mouth feels like it's like shrinking.
Is it?
I can't.
Warm Ribena.
It is, yeah. Warm and sweet.
Warm and sweet Ribena. Describe to everybody on the podcast what you're wearing. I feel like we need to discuss it.
It's kind of like to be fair, it's like, do you know what a vet bed is? It's like dog beds. You get like these kind of, cheap, like dog mat stuff. It's like that material, but fashioned into a...
For human beings.
Inuit hoodie. Yeah. So it looks like I've carved the flesh off of a very stylish woolly mammoth.
How long does it go down to your knees?
No, it's not that bad. I mean, the dressing gown covers the rest of me. I've got the dressing gown over my legs.
Oh, do you? It sounds so cozy. I feel like I'd fall asleep if I was so wrapped up warm. I'm the opposite.
It feels like I'm a mum on a Saturday football game.
You don't want to get up to cheer. You just want to
too cold for that. Yeah,
too cold for that. Exactly.
Go on.
Go on. Do it, you little twat. Very nice.
Yeah.
It's 2021 then.
It is 2021. Yeah. How are you finding the year so far?
Well, obviously UK's back in a lockdown. Lock it down, which I guess we all kind of anticipated anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But still, a bit bizarre, isn't it, now that we think in a couple of months we're going to be coming up to a year since the first one. Is this just the way life's going to be now?
My prediction, and you shouldn't listen to my prediction because I don't really watch the news. My uninformed prediction is that we will be dealing with this until about March 2022. Mark my words.
Mm. But to be fair...
Vaccines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, now you've said that, that doesn't make me go, what? That makes me kind of feel...
How are the doctors going to get the vaccines into people if they're so far away at home? Those needles don't squirt that far.
Squirt? They'll have to get some sort of, like, Gatling gun thing.
Yeah.
And then have to go, right, you're allowed out of the house to exercise, so everyone go to your local park. And ever go to your local park and line up around the outside.
Yeah.
Someone, obviously social distance, someone who's qualified will have a vaccine Gatling gun in the middle of the park, and they'll just go and give it a 360-degree nail everyone. Then everyone leaves the park, and then a whole new batch come in. That's how it's going to happen. All right.
I like it.
I like it.
So that's your prediction. That's what you're sticking with. You can't change it. No backsies. And I'm just going to say, We'll all be done by 2022, March.
We'll all be done. So if anyone in April 2022 goes, I think I got a bit of coronavirus, you've got to go, no, it's done with. I do know some people in New Zealand currently, and I watched their Instagram story, and they're at a festival. They're at a music festival, and there's people everywhere, and there's people on shoulders.
I don't understand how it works, but is what, have they got rid of it completely? There's no mutated strain?
It was gone, and I think then maybe it came back very briefly, but it's pretty much gone, yeah. Mm. I mean, obviously, different country, different strokes, but... You know, seeing that is when you go, hang on a minute. What the bejesus?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so we're going to be running through our sort of favourites and least favourites of 2020. Andy Condon-Turner was going to join us, but he is predisposed. He's not ill or anything like that. He's fine.
At the last minute, he just went, fuck you guys. And we just went, got to respect that. Honestly. But he has sent his list over, so we can discuss his list as well. Although after looking at his list, I'm not going to make any assumptions, but looking at his list in his top five, there are some crossovers of mine, and I'm just wondering if yours are as well, then.
Yeah, well, what we'll do when we're doing the countdown of films, like, we'll take it in turns. If the other person doesn't have that on their list, we'll talk about it. If they do, we'll hang fire until that person has got to theirs, and then we'll have a little bit of a chin wag.
I think I'll just read out Andy's at the end of that.
Okay, all right.
Instead of trying to include him. Sorry, mate.
So do you want to start with the bonus categories before we go into films?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Did you want any horror news today?
I'll take some if you've got some.
I mean, I got a couple of little snippets. I don't know if you want to do what we've been watching as well, because I've got a couple of things, but obviously if you don't want to, there's lots.
I could go for that. I've got something to talk about.
I can go for that. No can do. Okay, so a few films that have been on my kind of radar recently are finally getting names, and they're finally being called. So James Wan's movie, I think we have discussed it before, but it's going to be called Malignant. His new horror movie, which is separate from the old Conjuring verse and stuff, but it's going to be on HBO Max sometime this year. A trailer possibly on its way soon, but it's been rated R for strong horror, violence, gruesome images, and language. So, so not a family friendly one, which is, you know, kind of nice. I also saw that what's his name? Director of The Descent.
Neil Marshall's
got a new horror as well, which I think I've mentioned before, but I think maybe
I wonder how he threatened the Hollywood executives to get that one made.
yeah, exactly. You bloody make it. Also, I did see that Mike Flanagan was attached to make an adaptation of Stephen King's Revival, but apparently it's not happening anymore. He done a tweet 2 days ago. He said the project won't be moving forward, unfortunately. Really wish I could have done them both. He was talking about something called Midnight Mass as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I think both. So Revival and Midnight Mass both involve priests. He was like, not interested in any priest-based horror at all. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So that's that. And also, this was a few weeks ago. I say a few weeks ago, probably a week ago. Apparently... The filming is wrapped on the Resident Evil movie reboot, and everything I've seen of it so far looks very interesting. Even the final, that's a wrap image from Sony Pictures, which was like a TV, staticky TV, felt a bit, a CRT TV, so it felt a bit Resident Evil 7. And the clapperboard as well, it's got like the classic Resident Evil logo on it. So
this is the one that's going to be more faithful to the games, right?
I think so, yeah. So with all the set images we've seen, I've got there's a mansion, there's a raccoon city, there's basically everything just kind of look, you know, all the logos, the stars logos, all the text, everything looks like ripped straight from the game. So obviously they're going.
Yes, okay, cool.
Let's try and do something a little bit more close to it, yeah. So that's that, and I've also seen there's a few images from the new Zack Snyder zombie movie. Obviously, he did a remake of Dawn of the Dead, in 2003, 2004, been quite a while.
Written by James Gunn, I think, right?
Written by James Gunn. That's probably one we need to do on this podcast, because even though it's a remake, it's a...
Yeah, I watched it fairly recently. It held up.
It's all right. It's good, yeah. So apparently it's a full-blown, balls to the wall, zombie heist movie, Army of the Dead. It's got loads of people in it. I can see Dave Bautista in this picture.
Balls to the wall.
So, you know, who knows? Could be good if it's a similar sort of style to Dawn of the Dead, but it looks like it's in quite an advanced stage of a zombie apocalypse. Some of the visuals look a bit like Resident Evil 3, the movie, you know, sort of wasteland mercenaries. So, yeah, apparently it's getting a live-action prequel and an animated prequel series.
What? There's going to be a prequel series to this film that's coming out?
Yeah, an animated prequel series and a live-action prequel, allegedly.
Zack Snyder suffers from scope creep, where, like, his scope of a project just keeps on creeping wider and wider.
Yeah, I mean, he's going crazy with the Snyder
Cut. You see my breath, by the way? You see? I can see my own breath. I don't think the Inuit hoodie is doing
it. How do you feel that you can see your own breath?
It means it's too cold, surely. It means it's too cold. You should.
It's confirmation that you're alive.
There you go.
I always need. That's kind of it in terms of horror news. There's a lot of kind of bits and bobs of stuff. There's a lot of countdown lists I've seen and horror news bits. So, yeah, we shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see.
Have you seen anything good then this past week or however long it's been?
Let's have a look. I've been watching since like the turn of the year. I've been doing some comfort watching.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of nights, I've watched Anaconda, 1997's Anaconda, Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, John Voight. And I've still got a lot of love for this film, you know. So it's a good romp.
So everyone in the Facebook group was saying, was giving it compliments, and I cannot remember much about it at all.
It's super cheesy. It knows it's cheesy. It kind of works so well because there is a quite an impressive cast of names, and there's a genuine threat from the snake as well. Like, even though majority of the shots are a very obviously animatronic head, it still looks kind of scary. CGI is a bit shiny and wobbly, and there's a few dodgy bits. But John Voight is a great villain as well. Yeah. Like, he's doing an accent. I think it's supposed to be Spanish. Who knows? But he's good. He's like he's a creepy, sleazy sleazeball, and you just want to see him get hurt, basically. And when he does, spoiler alert, sorry. It's great. It's great when you see a villain get their comeuppance. But yeah, I've watched a lot in my life. I remember seeing it on.
It explains a lot about who you are as a person.
Oh, it does. It's snaky.
That guy's seen Anaconda.
Do you remember cable TV growing up? The channel called Front Row, where like it would show previews for the films like all day long, and I think the film started every 2 hours. And if you paid for it, it would obviously play. But if you didn't pay for it, the like first minute of it would play, and then it would like flicker off.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, I remember seeing the first minute of Anaconda like dozens of times, where I'd be like, "Oh, this looks great! I want to watch this. The trailer looks good." And then I watched the first minute, and Danny Trejo is in it in the first minute, being stalked by like some unseen creature.
Is it the snake?
I want to watch it. It's a snake. Yeah.
Did it live up to the hype that you were giving it?
I think it did at the time. Like, I thought it was the best thing ever. Like, I thought it was absolutely superb. But now, I'm a bit like, yeah, still good, still watchable. There's a lot of good characters. And, the action sequences are good as well. And I also watched, so I kind of like, I've been doing a monster movie. I don't know what to do for the third installment of this potential trilogy. But Eight-Legged Freaks I watched last night as well. So obviously this is a bit more of a comedy.
This is... what's his face in it? Dewey. Your favourite wrestler.
Big bad David Arquette. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a confusing thing about it, right? This is a point that it's not going to be a major talking point, but I'm going to say it anyway. On the poster, David Arquette has got like a little tiny goatee, and he's screaming as a spider as a spider like jumps around. Now, in the movie, he starts off with a goatee, but he shaves it far in advance of the spiders turning up. So never at one point does he look in fear.
What kind of goatee? Like a soul patch sort of thing? Or...
maybe a little bit of a soul patch, but quite a Ricky Gervais office era little goatee.
Okay, yeah. I just have to check my own face to see if I had a soul patch.
Yeah.
I
always get rid of that bit. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's strange. I don't even think about it.
This feels a bit too close to my lips.
The bits above your lips are really close to your lips, I've got to
say. Yeah, I know. I kind of like... don't bother me for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eight-Legged Freaks is kind of like... the setup's good. It's a comedy, so like it kind of wears its...
I think... So you're saying you don't know what the third animal attack film would be for that?
Yeah. Well, now someone suggested to me on Twitter, and it's not really related, but it did kind of make me think, oh yeah, I definitely want to watch that. Someone suggested, oh, you should watch Evolution next.
Oh, I love Evolution.
Yeah, which isn't, you wouldn't say it was a horror at all. It's kind of like just a science fiction comedy, but we've got creatures and stuff, so that could be a good one. It was either going to be that or... I was going to potentially move on to, and I guess we will discuss this at a future point, going to move on to Congo, because that kind of fits in.
Surely Lake Placid is the...
Yeah, see, I thought Lake Placid feels too similar to Anaconda for me.
Okay, so we want to get more different. I guess Congo would be the correct...
yeah, you know, covered it. So we got reptiles, insects, and then mammals.
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah. Arachnids. Yeah.
And then Evolution would be like Aliens, and I've covered everything there. All very different genres of film, but kind of scratch the same late 90s, early 2000s itch.
Yeah.
And David, so the only other thing I've seen is a movie called Escape Room. Now, I see that there's a few Escape Room movies.
I watched it as well. It came on Netflix.
Did you? I watched it on Netflix as well. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So... I think this is the biggest one of them all, and that the other escape room movies are sort of lower budget potential horror movies. Okay, well, there we go. What did you think of this one?
So it's kind of like a young PG-13 version of Saw, in the sense that you've got these characters, they end up in little trap rooms, and it starts off pretty good. I would say not amazing, but quite enjoyable. I like the setups, and I like the sort of like the oven room, and I like the little puzzles that they've got in there, because you're thinking, I wonder how they're gonna get out of here.
Yeah.
And then at some point, there's also like a room that's like when they're on drugs, and it starts to like spin around in the start.
That's pretty cool.
Feels like they've walked into like a game show from.
Yeah. I like the upside down room.
That was good. Yeah. But then around about three quarters of the way through, it really shits the bed for me.
I think that's how I described it. I said it shits its pants come the ending. Like the ending is just absolutely nonsensical. I'm like, what are we supposed to believe? What?
Well, it gets like one. What? Yeah, it shits its bed to shits its pants to like a certain degree, and then the ending happens, and then it's got like a sort of coda, like an ending thing. A further ending, and you're like, wow, it really shit its pants that time. Like
completely unnecessary, wouldn't it?
It didn't even wipe itself up. Like it just...
It's kind of like it was setting it up to be a certain thing, and I thought it's going to be nice if we get like a real big twist on what the ending is. So,
yeah.
No spoilers, but you know, behind in a lot of films like this, there's always like a rich people are behind it, or it's a global corporation, and you know, people are betting on something, you know, something like that. That's kind of what I expected. Which it kind of gives you, but in like the lamest possible terms, where they've literally just seemed to have just got a guy. I mean, who is that guy? And they've gone, you're the big bad. And he's gone, am I? And they've gone, yeah, you are. Now do some villain stuff. And it was just, yeah.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with the plane at the end. And it felt like...
I was checked out by that point.
It felt like the flavor texts or like the stuff they put, they add on to like a roller coaster ride, you know, to give the roller coaster some story. Like it felt like that level of like, you are this person and you're on a mission too, but watch out, the crazy stuff's about to happen.
Can you survive the escape room? Yeah, it was exactly.
And I was just like, I was disappointed. I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe the writer director guy just.
Because a good example of something like this is Haunt. So we both saw Haunt, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like, obviously not escape rooms, but you know, someone set something up for some for the pleasure of everybody else to sort of watch and enjoy, and these people are being put through the mill.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like that, but you know, didn't feel too sinister. It felt this felt like the very corporate version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that it was PG-13, but if you were like really young, then you might enjoy it. Like if you were really, really young. I mean, before like you developed.
4 and 5 year olds will enjoy this.
Yeah, it's cool. I like some of the set pieces, and I like what's the face from the Daredevil TV show?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah,
except I can't remember her name immediately.
Yeah.
The only problem is that I was watching it with my girlfriend and she just kept saying that her answer to everything was just piss on it. So there was a big a big block of ice at one point with something trapped in the middle.
Oh yeah, that's like, a good idea.
She was like, just piss on it. When they were trying to fill these glasses up on pressure point, she was like, just piss on it. Yeah. Her answer to everything was just piss on it. And I was just like, I'm so glad I'm not stuck in a escape room with you. Because I'd be like, I'd just be reading the rules and suddenly the paper would just get ripped in half by a hot stream of piss.
Yeah. Well, that does work for the first two puzzles. She would have knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, but after that, she would have been out of ideas. Exactly.
Unless the drugs could be overcome by pissing on it. Who knows? Well, what else did I watch? I watched a lot of, you know, comfort food stuff over Christmas. Pixar's Soul. Very nice. Nightmare Before Christmas. It's classic. I watched The Wedding Singer. These kind of films you don't even mean to put on. Like when you think about watching a film when it's not Christmas, you kind of go between different ones. You go, do I want to invest the next 2 hours? But at Christmas, you just whop them on without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Wedding Singer is all right. It's probably one of the better Adam Sandler films. And it's got an amazing song. The editor was bullshit. And Adam Sandler's voice, I'm not going to lie, is amazing. Yeah. It's got a really good voice.
Billy Idol?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still got some sort of cheesy moments, but it's fun. What are you going to do?
It's probably aged the best, though, isn't it? Out of most of his films. Like, there's not... It seems like a genuinely sort of well-to-do, well-meaning film. It doesn't feel...
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
Adam Sandler, you're like, what voice is he doing? What kind of character is he trying to be? But The Wedding Singer, you're like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
It's the 80s.
Watched Coraline, because after watching Nightmare Before Christmas, I wanted to watch another Henry Selick. Is that the director's name?
Some more of that.
Yeah, Coraline's great. It's actually really cool. You don't get many films like that. Ocean's 8, which is another, just randomly whopped it on. That film, again, not horror, we'll get to horror in a sec, but that film had no conflict whatsoever.
Oh, gosh.
You know, a film, like, I don't know the Ocean films that well, but I imagine they're setting up a heist, and during the heist, something goes wrong. Or there's, like, a near miss, and then there's, like, a reveal where, like, no, we knew this was going to happen, it's all part of the plan. We overcome this sort of moment of tension. There's no tension. The plan just goes to plan. Yeah. And I think it ended. I was like, I don't understand what the point of that was. Like,
I've been avoiding that just because of James Corden.
He was actually all right. He made me laugh in it.
Did he?
Yeah. And then the last film I worked.
well, we can't let that go. Let's end this podcast right now. No, I'm joking. Go on. What else did you watch?
I won't talk about it just yet because it's in my top five of the year.
It's in your top five of the year? What a lovely end to the year you must have had.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So we've got some, before we do the top five, we've got some smaller categories of stuff to go over. Do you think we should just go from the top of those and work through, I guess, before we do the top five?
I don't know if my list is the same way around as yours. What have you,
yeah, that's a good point. Why did I assume that? So I've got honourable mentions next, but do you think we should do that after the top five?
Do that before the top five, but not now.
Not now. Okay. yeah. So the first thing I've got is potential TV.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll do TV and games first, maybe. So different media other than films, but horror focused that we've enjoyed this year, if anything. Because, you know, they're slim pickings for me.
Yeah, well, I found it difficult. I haven't played that many horror games, and I don't really watch that much TV, but I found a couple that I think do fit the bill. TV show, it's not strictly horror, but Primal is one of the goriest things.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even think of that.
Oh my God. In fact, the first episode is full on horror. Like, the setup for the rest of the series is horrific. So, it's an amazing TV show. I've managed to get a few people to watch it now, and everyone who's watched it has agreed that it is fantastic. I don't think enough people have watched it. It's maybe one of my favorite things of all mediums from last year. Like, it was just so good, so well done.
Yeah, it was intense. I really enjoyed it, and it stuck with me for a long time after I watched it as well. So that shows what kind of impact it had.
Yeah. What about you for TV?
So the one thing I did enjoy, and I was a bit like unsure whether I would even be into it, just because it can be the kind of thing which is a bit overdone and a bit hit and miss, but I really enjoyed Ju-On Origins. So set in the universe of The Grudge. Yeah. It's a bit messy. It's got a few timelines going on. It shoots back and forth around decades quite often. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And it's not got like many major scares. I mean, it's got plenty of scares, but it's not scare to scare to scare. It's kind of a lot of very human stories as well. And interesting just about loads of different characters in Japan and the various buildings and the way these ghosts kind of exist between these people and these places. I really liked it, and took me a couple to get into, but something about it, it doesn't feel like The Grudge, it doesn't feel like, you know, The Ring or anything like that. It feels very much its own thing.
Cool. I'll watch it. Someone else I knew was singing its praises, so yeah.
All right.
Sounds worth a go.
Very nice.
Games. Again, I didn't play many horror games this year, but then when I was thinking about it, there was one game that was quite scary. So it's Little Nightmares, it's kind of a similar genre to Inside and Limbo, if anyone's played those games. You play like a tiny... like an elf kid person. You never really see who this person is, but they've got like a raincoat on, so you never reveal who they are. Have you played it?
My nephew's played it, and I've seen him playing it, so I've seen a couple of little stages of it.
And then, so you start off like you're in the bowels of, I won't spoil anything, but you're in the bowels of something, like deep down in the dark, and you sort of work your way through this place. And there's like loads of like, the first few stages, you work your way through what looks like a ton of luggage, loads of random luggage, and then you find it's like a meat processing place, and you realize that they're cooking people. But everyone else is huge. So it's got this like a Jack and the Beanstalk kind of vibe, I guess, in the sense that the giants are absolutely massive. So you're kind of running around and hiding under tables and stuff, trying to sneak past these giant, horrendous-looking, ogre-ish people. And they do grab you and sort of shove you in their mouth and start chomping on you and that kind of thing. It's got some really scary moments, but there's a couple of set pieces in it. It's got like a bit of a Tim Burton-y vibe, I will say.
Yeah.
But scarier. It's not quite as... It's not as twee, not as childish as Tim Burton. There's a couple of set pieces that I thought were so good. I've gone on YouTube and watched people play them because I wanted to see other people's reactions. Yeah, because it's I don't know, it's just really well done. Just a great game. Like, I think it's about 3 hours long. really cool little horror adventure, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. Is there a sequel to that coming out? Because I think I remember reading something about that.
Yeah, the trailers have been on TV. That's good. I'll get it. I'll definitely play the sequel.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you?
February 11th, 2021, it looks like the sequel's coming out.
Day before my birthday. Here you go.
Oh, look at that. It's like they knew. How special. So I've got three games to talk about because I guess the two big survival horror releases this year. Well, I guess you'd say
this year. Was it 2020?
2020, yes.
If you're going to talk about what I think you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I know. So Resident Evil 3, the remake, came out in March. I'll talk about that one first.
Yeah.
And I've kind of seen like a lot of mixed stuff from people. It's very short. The campaign is like 6.5 hours long. There aren't any like additional modes. So like on the original PlayStation game, there was Mercenaries mode and, you know, other things. And with Resident Evil 2 remake, there were kind of extra bits and DLC and it was more fleshed out. This kind of feels like for a full priced game, if you're not a massive fan of, you know, Resident Evil, it might feel like you might feel a bit shortchanged. I loved it because I played through it more than once on different difficulties. But yeah, they've done exactly what they did with Resident Evil 2, with Resident Evil 3, the story at least. And it's great, you know, to see those games brought to life for like a modern audience and for this generation of console. I still kind of hope that they'd release some DLC, but maybe not now that PS5's out. Maybe they'll say, we're done with this and we're moving on to obviously Resident Evil Village, which comes out this year. But yeah, it's a really good... In a way, it feels classic because, you know, obviously the Resident Evil games of old, the stories, were only a few hours long, 3-4 hours. If you explore every crevice, you can get a few more hours out of it. Mm. But yeah, having Nemesis after you with a rocket launcher and smashing through walls when you think you're walking through a nice little quiet corridor and various stages of him transforming and particularly... The hospital sequence in the final third of the game is like horrific. Like you really start to run out of ammo and you've got to get past certain creatures where you're like, I'm not going to be able to kill that thing. It's going to have me head off in one swipe.
Yeah.
So like I really felt my back against the wall in terms of, and there's another sequence as well where you're kind of in a space and loads of constant waves of enemies come in. And that was intense, you know, really, really intense. So it felt like a classic.
I'll play it.
It felt like a classic Resident Evil experience, and if you could pick it up pretty cheap, you know, maybe not now, but in a few months,
yeah,
I definitely recommend it. Probably Resident Evil 2 is much better, just because you get a lot more and it's a lot longer game. But still, this was like a nice. If anything, this feels like a little bit of an add-on, even though it was a full price game. It felt like if this was an add-on for maybe half the price, mm-hmm. it would have been like everyone would have been going crazy over it.
Cool, man. Yeah, I don't know why I haven't played that yet. I really like Resi 2, so...
Yeah. And I guess the other big one, which has obviously been winning Game of the Year and a lot of things, is The Last of Us Part 2, which I think came out in... Was it like May or June?
Yeah, no spoilers, because I've still not played it.
No spoilers. I won't spoil it. Obviously, it's pretty controversial in terms of some ways that the story went. Some people were disappointed, some people were angry... You know, but I think it's just as good, if not better, than the first one, just because it's so much bigger. Like, the scale of it is so much more than the first game as well. And the first game's, like, nearly perfect, I'd say. But, yeah, this is, like, the game that keeps on giving. There are so many great areas where stealth is really important and other times where it's, like, full-out crazy violence. But, yeah, it's I suppose that's what good stories do, is they kind of frustrate you and...
Yeah,
challenge you and then reward you later on down the line. But some really like iconic moments as well, like some places you explore and some characters and things you go through. I mean, it was super, super intense. Like, I couldn't stop playing it from the time I got it. I probably finished it. I didn't smash out in like one go or two sittings. It took me a couple of weeks. But still, it felt like I was fully invested for the whole time. And I've recommended it to a few people and they've been playing it as well and they keep texting me when they're at certain bits and they're like, oh, this bit's amazing. I'm like, well, you haven't seen nothing yet.
I've made a bit of a list of games I want to play this year. I've not put Last of Us 2 on there, but I should do because it's pretty high on my list. I've got here.
If you enjoyed, if you enjoyed the first one, which I think you played, did you?
Yeah,
you enjoyed the first one. It's like more of the same, but different, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I've got here Prey, which apparently is quite like Bioshock, which I really like. Days Gone, which is a zombie game, but I know some people didn't like it, but I've heard that it gets really good after the first 10 hours or so.
I bought that like about a week ago because it was on sale for like 15 quid. So I just picked that up. I haven't played it yet, but
I'm looking forward to dive into that. And Spider-Man, which I've not played still, which I know is apparently great. And then Hades, which is did Hades win Game of the Year for something?
I think it did. I think a few places gave it Game of the Year. I'm not sure who, but I've seen a lot of love for it. I don't really know that much about it, to be fair, but maybe I should look into it a bit more.
Yes, so you've got those to look forward to, and then whatever new stuff comes out as well.
So obviously Resident Evil Village is a big one for me this year. God of War,
PS5
I think
games.
It will be PS5, but you know, if anything's going to convince me to buy a PS5, it would be a Resident Evil game, or there's God of War, the New Horizon as well. The only other game I was going to mention on this list is something I'm currently playing. And it is horror, you know. It's like ridiculous. But so Doom Eternal, I've been playing, and it's like pretty much the same as Doom 2016. But say if that the gore and the violence and the over the top ridiculous nature of everything was a 7.2 out of 10, this is a definite 10. It's like neon multicolored. Like, in comparison to if Doom was black and white, this is like the neon multicolored version of that. Some of the demon designs are like unreal. It kind of gives me the same sort of feeling as I guess Primal did, where you're just like, how much more can this give me? Where can it go next? And you're always like, oh my God, this is absolutely ridiculous and insane. Yeah. And it's like, it's probably the best first person shooter I've played. I've been playing on hard as well because I thought, I'm just going to start on hard and hopefully I'll adapt and see how I get to it. And it is so challenging. Like, I die a lot, but I'm constantly, constantly making progress. There's bits where I go, there's no way I'm going to get past this bit. And then I'll go to bed and then the next day I'll turn it on and I'll do it first time. So it's kind of like that sort of thing. There's kind of like all those little rewards and that. But yeah, it is absolutely insane. And I've always feel like I've tuned into it. It's almost like it's like playing that game now has become like an extra sense where I'm just like, just flying through, just my eyes are closed. And I'm just like, do that, do this here. Because there's so many things. Initially, I was like, there are so many different things you can do. Like, obviously, there's guns, chainsaws, fists, different abilities that you've got. I was like, I'm never going to remember this. And now I'm just switching through them all. Like, do that, do this one. Yeah, him over there, blow his head off. Yeah, chainsaw that guy. Yeah, punch that guy. Yeah, kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, really. Like, I held off getting that when it was released, and I thought, I'll wait till it's a bit cheaper. So I got it for Christmas, and Christmas Day playing that game, I think it's going to be a memory that sticks with me for a long time. Does anyone mind if I stick this on? No. Oh my God!
Vaccine Gatling gun out again.
some of the vaccine Gatling gun, but the demons, like the designs of the demons are like grotesque. Like, some of them are just like, what the fuck? Like, you'll walk into a room, it'll zoom in on what your next enemy is, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Did you ever play Bloodborne?
A little bit. I never had it, but someone I know had it.
Some of the bosses are like that, are kind of like, I don't even know what I'm looking at the minute.
Yeah.
So kind of Lovecraftian, I guess.
Yeah, it's like that. They've used a lot of the original sprites from like Doom 2, so they've made them look like...
Yeah.
Exactly the same as Doom 2. So if you played that, it's kind of like, oh my God, there's that guy. But yeah, the leveling up system is unlike anything. It's a completely different gaming experience. It's just like heavy metal, relentless gore.
I've listened to the soundtrack a fair bit.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the first one.
It's good soundtrack. It's good, like, just adds.
Yeah,
definitely. And there are quiet moments between the like major battles as well, where you're like traversing stuff and exploring, and it's just really satisfying. And it's not very often that I play a game on hard, but I just thought maybe this is the next transition I need to make into gaming now, because I need to just get used to dying all the time.
What so, you mean? Are you going to play other games on hard mode now?
You're going to. I think so. Yeah, I think so. I know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see. I could go back on that.
Duncan, my friend, plays everything on hard mode, and he platinums everything as well. He wow. says he plays them to the point where he hates them. Like, he doesn't know why he does it, but like he by the time he's trying to get the last bits of trophies or whatever, he kind of detests the game. But yeah,
I don't hate it yet, but it's great. You know, if it's a good game to just really like, you don't have to think too much, I guess. Obviously you do, but you're not, there's not major puzzles or interesting choices to make. It's just like a get from A to B and kill everything in your way.
Yeah, cool, man. So should we do new film discovery first or yep. next even?
Yeah we can do that.
I find this one quite hard because I find myself watching more older stuff than I do new stuff. Yeah. Like I really enjoy finding like new discoveries. But like working through like lists of best films ever, and like you think, I've never even heard of it before, I wonder why it is.
Yeah.
And you watch it, and yeah, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first, man.
Well, I was going to pick The Boxer's Omen, which I've talked about before, which is the Chinese black magic film, but I'm not going to go with that. It is a great film. It's a bizarre film. I'm going to go with Cemetery Man, which was the film with Rupert Everett playing a guy who works in a cemetery, and all the dead are coming back to life for some reason, and he has to keep killing them, and he has sex with one of them, and it's really insane. But it's got a lot of like, the kind of the vibes of horror movies I really love, like Dead Alive and Evil Dead. It's got a lot of those kind of humor moments to it. So, and I've never seen a film that has a tone like this. Like, it's the most unique tone in a film I've maybe not ever seen. So I've seen some weird shit, but this is up there.
Yeah, I've still not got around to seeing that, but I need to add it to a list somewhere so I remember it, because I pretty much did forget until you mentioned it again.
Yeah, it's really good. I definitely recommend you to watch it. It's got a really cool ending moment as well. I don't want to spoil it, but it's got a wacky ending.
Yeah. On that list, so what are we calling this? Sorry.
Honorable. No. New discoveries.
New discoveries, yeah. So for me, it's the films of. So more than one film, but the films of Frank Henenlotter, because I'd never seen them before. Particularly Frankenhooker, which I think of all of his major releases, probably doesn't get talked about half as much as Basket Case and Brain Damage. I really, really loved it. It was like 85 minutes of just the best sort of stuff. So ridiculous and stupid. But like so many great visuals, that the exploding hookers smoke super crack sequence, I know I've mentioned on this podcast already before, but I can't remember the last time I watched a scene and I rewound it and watched it again and then rewound it and watched it again. So three times I watched it because I was like, what? I've got to see that again. It might be one of the greatest scenes ever, just just because every like second of it, you're just like, what? What on earth? What the hell just happened? Something about the tone of this film I just really enjoyed. And again, another one where I was surprised that I hadn't seen it before. But I think Basket Case for me, I can't remember what I said on the podcast, what I rated it. I mean, I liked it to a degree, but I think Brain Damage and Frankenhooker kind of took it further.
Yeah.
And then I need to see Basket Case 2 and 3 probably this year. To really
well, I've never seen never seen Henenlotter. I prefer Brain Damage. I've seen some people on Instagram, younger people, like 20-year-olds, talking about how one particular person who says that Basket Case is their favourite film of all time. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Is it really? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is. Who am I to say it's not?
I mean,
but I just don't believe them.
We had a lot of fun with it. And I had a lot of fun when we chatted about it with Alice. That was fun. It was a fun episode. But yeah, probably a film I'd never need to see again. Again, I'm up for watching the sequels, definitely. But never need to watch it again. Whereas with Brain Damage, like, that was a weird one. But a weird one that I definitely want to see again. And Frankenhooker, just something about it just sort of cemented it as probably one of my favorite 80s comedy horrors, but definitely one of my favorite 80s horrors, just because I think it doesn't get talked about all that much. So
okay, I'm gonna check it out then. I've not seen it, so
yeah, man, check it out. It's a good time.
Cool.
And the effects are amazing, like
top notch.
Definitely don't watch anything in slow motion, but because you would see everything that went into the effects, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. All the quick cuts of like exploding body parts and stuff just looks, it's just so good.
Yeah. All right, man. So I think we're gonna get to our 2020 movies. Did you have any honorable mentions you want to get out of the way?
Got a few honorable mentions. I won't talk about them in great detail because. Mm-hmm. A couple of them we've already spoken about on podcast episodes. But one film that I probably haven't, I didn't put anywhere near my top list of favorite films until I kind of looked back and I went, oh yeah, I completely forgot to add that. And that was Underwater, which I definitely need to see again.
Mm-hmm.
But
do we do an episode on it?
I think so. I think we did, because that was back when obviously the cinemas were still open. So we did episode 126. We chatted about I can't remember what the rating I gave it then was, but almost looking back at it in hindsight, I do think it was a really good sort of film.
Big budget horror. It seemed like a big budget horror. It seemed to swing for the fences. Yeah,
definitely. And it's got, I mean, it pays homage to a lot of different movies. Aliens, The Abyss, what else?
I really like
Pacific Rim.
I really like the costumes. Like the deep sea diving costumes. It looked like kind of manga-ish, like Japanese inspired.
Yeah, I think that's why I said Pacific Rim. It felt like the big over the top, chunky metal. I like that. And then the only other ones I've got on my honorable mentions list are, I think Gretel and Hansel was pretty good. So from the trailers I kind of thought, yeah, it looks pretty good, but I can imagine it being a disappointment, you know, because it's a updated version of a classic tale. But it was really gothic and dark and creepy, and I don't know if it's an A24 horror. I don't think it is it? Not Gretel and Hansel, but it sort of feels like it captures that sort of vibe.
Yeah,
the sort of dark gothicness of something like The Witch, but I don't know. It was genuinely quite creepy, I felt, and a lot of the visions.
When did The Lighthouse come out?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think that was pretty much this year. I think the official release was 2019, but I think majority of places got to see it in 2020, I believe.
Still not seen it, and I have a feeling that I'll really like it, but I'll get to it. Yeah, any other honourable mentions you want to say?
And then the other few, so Relic was one of them. Did we do an episode on that?
No.
Host is the other one, obviously a massive culture impact this year, but obviously the best year for it to have come out. Obviously it wouldn't have come out if it wasn't for this year, but I think it really captured a feeling. And then also I put The Rental, which I'm not sure if you've seen.
Not James Franco. Dave Franco,
Alison Brie, what's his name? Some other guy. but yeah, it was like...
Is Alison Brie in it?
Alison Brie's in it, yeah. They're both in it.
I don't know that. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was really impressed by it. It's kind of hard to describe what it is without really spoiling anything. But what starts off as a sort of thriller goes in another direction. But yeah, I don't think I saw that many people were that impressed by it, but I did really enjoy it. So that gets an honourable mention.
Okay. Honourable mentions for me. I've got two that I'm going to put here. I really love them, but I don't know if I could really call them full-on horror. Spontaneous and Scare Me. Nice. Scare Me is the one where they're kind of telling each other scary stories. And it's really funny. If you're a horror movie fan, it's kind of made for you. But I don't know if it's technically a horror film. Maybe. I don't know. It's a really good film. Spontaneous is more of a cross-genre teen coming-of-age film, but it has like some horror elements with the exploding teenagers. That film moved me more than any film I've seen this year. Yeah, more than Soul. Like, it had that kind of that emotional kind of resonance that, I mean, most coming-of-age films have that, but this film really, really hit home. My other honorable mention, I'm only putting it here because it really should be in my top five, but I don't know why. I think I need to see it again. I think it's been too long, maybe. The Invisible Man. Like,
yeah,
it's a fantastic film, and I remember really loving it, but I can't quite remember it. So I can't quite put it in my top five if I don't quite remember it.
I definitely would like to see it again. And yeah. I do remember it quite well, but I would like to see it again, yeah. Because, I mean, was it February, possibly, that came out? Because I saw that in the cinema. Yeah. Anything else?
No. Can I do my number five before you? Because I think, you'll have something to say about it.
Of course you can, man. Is that everything? Have we covered everything? I've got an anticipated for 2021 list. I guess we'll...
Okay.
Mention that. Sorry. Before that, I'm just going to discuss something Andy said. So in terms of his new discoveries, he said, Better Watch Out joins his Christmas rotation.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Watched it last year.
Have you seen it?
Okay. A really good, kind of fun Christmas horror. It's basically Home Alone, but the inverse of Home Alone. That's quite solid. But it is that. But it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need to see that. Probably not the next Christmas though, because I just can't do that to myself. He did say it was a year of rediscoveries, remembering how good films like Sleepy Hollow and The Mist really are. Enjoyed both of my watches of those this year. He did mention Resident Evil Nemesis remake, and then he also mentioned Haunting the Blind Manor, which pivots from scares to gothic romance story, which he had more time for than a lot of other folks.
I liked it. I think you didn't like it that much, right?
No, I didn't like it. I was quite annoyed at it. But, you know, if you and Andy enjoyed it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy for you both.
Okay. Oh, did you want to quickly talk about you've got another category here that I didn't put anything for. Disappointments. I couldn't think of anything to put in disappointments.
Well, first disappointment I want to discuss is obviously like delayed movies. So Candyman getting delayed, you know, God knows how many times. But now we've got a 2021 release, apparently.
Actually, I do have a disappointment, actually. Go on.
You do?
Yeah, it just reminded me. Yeah, yeah.
Is it me?
No.
So again, I don't want to make this section too negative, so I'm not gonna dwell on these. But The Grudge, which came out in January, I believe, the American remake of a remake. That was a shit show. That was real bad. Didn't like that. Peninsula, the Train to Busan sequel. Super disappointing. Didn't have the same sort of vibe at all. There were some sequences which were like Fast and the Furious versus Zombies. Didn't like that. Books of Blood, which I know.
That's what I was going to say. Books of Blood. I'm a big Clive Barker person, and they just didn't sell me on it at all, I'm afraid.
That was not a good time. Not a good time at all. I've just noticed one thing. I've left off my new discoveries, and that was Possum. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. No, I've not seen it, no.
That the visuals from that have kind of stuck with me for a long time, and I keep kind of, I think some of the shots are going to be some of the most horrific sort of horror movie shots. They're definitely up there with some of them, but yeah, I recommend that. I don't know if that's on Netflix. It's a very weird one, but definitely worth a watch, psychological horror wise. That's everything covered, I believe.
Okay, top five horror movies of top five horror movies of 2020. My number five is a tie.
Never seen that.
You've already mentioned them, and I could. They're about the same kind of rating in my mind. Is Relic and Underwater.
A tie. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So, Relic, I watched a couple of weeks ago. And I really liked it. I really like the whole liminal spaces vibe. When they tie that into this idea that someone, gets confused in their own home, suffering from Alzheimer's. I thought it was quite cool. I kind of thought I knew what they were doing. And then there's that one point where she sort of finds that this cupboard doesn't end, and it kind of leads into this other part of the house, and then it kind of... I think that's maybe the best example of that kind of thing I've seen. And the rooms are getting smaller, the corridors are getting weird, and then they're getting followed by the creepy mother character. Really cool. I really liked it.
I think my only problem with it, the problem is entirely mine, is that by the end, I don't know if I quite understood what had happened. Maybe that was the point. But I think I was definitely a bit lost, and I had to go away and do a little bit of research into thinking what it apparently was about. But it was definitely one of those films where I was like, okay, there we go. I don't feel so bad about that then.
They peel away the wallpaper of the woman.
Yeah.
Peel it away. And then they leave like a little creep, like a, I don't know what it is. It's like a weird goblin creature thing that's their mum. It's weird looking. But that's what I like. I like that it was like...
Yeah.
You know what? I've not even mentioned... you might have it on your list, so don't worry.
Okay. But I liked a lot of the visuals from it. I think all the performances were good in Relic as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And then I've tied it with Underwater. We've already talked about it, but... You don't see many horror movies that are big budget, crazy sci-fi, stuff like that. So you've got to give it props.
I think I need to watch it again.
Because it's so expensive. You've got to give it props.
It was bloody expensive, mate. You should see. Kristen Stewart's hair alone cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
I bet that was an expensive looking haircut. Okay. So how are we doing this? So if
I've got you on number five, I'll tell you. Just say what it is.
Okay. So my number five is The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
I've not seen it.
Oh, you've not seen it.
No.
We didn't discuss on a podcast. But yeah, it was a... from seeing the trailer, I thought it was going to be like a, standard little quirky zombie movie directed by Jim Cummins. Obviously, you made Thunder Road and starring Jim Cummins as, I think, the same character as Thunder Road. I'm pretty sure. Now I've said that out loud, it feels like it might be wrong. But
Someone else said it was the same character. So
Jim Arnold. Wait, I'm just double checking. John Marshall. So it's not the same character in terms of name, but it's definitely the same character in terms of like the performance. And it's like a really weird comedic performance, but one that you're kind of like just chuckling along to constantly. It's like really awkward and just strange. And yeah, again, no spoilers with this, but it's not a traditional, it's like a mystery movie, I guess, but it felt like a really nice, like small town, I guess small budget werewolf movie, and sort of like a traditional one in a sense, especially in terms of, it definitely looked like there were a lot of practical effects. But yeah, a very nice movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I also want to watch Thunder Road, so I'll probably double bill them.
Yeah, he seems great there, Jim Cummins. I saw him post a video the other day talking about Letterboxd, so he seems like a major film fan, film nerd.
Yeah, I actually listened to a lot of interviews with him about like filmmaking and stuff. He's quite, you know, the proponent of just kind of DIY indie filmmaking. So yeah, it's good to listen to. My number four is Host, directed by Rob Savage, written by Rob Savage, Jed Shepard, and Gemma Hurley. What can you say about this film that, I mean, if you've not seen this film, it's a film that basically is 2020 in a horror movie. Like, it completely, like, summarizes the year. Again, made on a very small budget in lockdown over Zoom. Really effective. It kind of does everything that you kind of want in a movie like this. Like, I kind of feel like they kept it simple to the point where they were just going to deliver the scares. And if they overcomplicated it, people would have got more pissed off by the medium, by the format a bit more. It's really good. I very much enjoyed it, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Rob does next.
Obviously, the fact it was under an hour long as well is quite a unique thing. How do you think that's going to affect features going forward?
I think stuff is going straight to streaming. I don't think it's going to care less and less about length. The only problem, I think filmmakers have a habit of going over film length budget. I think this film was supposed to be shorter in the pitch, and then he went over. I'm not too sure. So a lot of streaming films do tend to be like a bit longer and a bit flabby, where it's like you're going for like a theatrical screen and you might be a bit more sharp with the cutting. I'm not too sure, but it's cool. It's a good film.
Yeah,
how about you?
Does a lot right. So my next one is number four. So I've gone for His House.
So this is one I just was going to add to my honorable mentions. It's not in my list, but I'm glad it's on someone's list. It's a great song.
I'm glad it's on. I think it's on Andy's list as well. So just double checking where he's put. So he's put Host is his number four.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolf of Snow Hollow is his number two.
Yeah.
So he was really into that. His House isn't on his list. Sorry, I've got that wrong. But yeah, it's like, it's a film that kind of is a psychological horror, represents trauma and fear of being forced to like leave a war-torn country. A very good human story with a supernatural twist. Just really effective. Just sort of had me sort of wondering where it was going to be going with each moment. And it did remind me of Possum in a way, which obviously I've mentioned as my favorite new discovery, where it was a very dark, very human story, but something that had like this looming specter over the top of it throughout proceedings, and you kept on wanting to see more of that threat, and you kind of wanted to unpick what that threat was going to be. So it kept, and when there is a reveal of sorts, I won't say what kind of reveal, In case anyone listening hasn't seen it. I say that, but we've been spoiling everything. But when there is a reveal of sorts, I think it's really satisfying, and it is really like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. There's just some amazing visuals. I love they use it as the poster, I think, where he's like on the table, and then he's suddenly out in the middle of the sea.
That's great.
There's like demons crawling out of the sea. Really good.
And you know, the way that their story is revealed to us is really good as well, because obviously you feel a certain way about these characters to start with, and as more and more is revealed, you're kind of made to feel a little bit conflicted in how you're supposed to feel about these characters, and that just adds to everything.
Yeah, there's quite a horrendous reveal with the main character.
Yeah.
Exactly. My number three, I don't know if this is on your list or not, The Platform.
Okay.
That was 2020, right? No, no, say it. I'm pretty sure it was 2020. Straight to Netflix.
Yeah, I think it was Netflix in 2020.
Platform is if you like your films like Cube, or if you like anything that's got that kind of it's a big old metaphor, and it's a kind of a social experiment sort of thing, and let's just see what these characters do in this situation. I've seen it twice now, and it's really good. It has all the horror moments. It's got all the philosophy moments. It's just one of those films that I can imagine just sticking on every now and again, late at night, don't know what to do. A bit of a comfort horror movie that...
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the same way film, Cube is. Like,
does that make you hungry?
No, but his food of choice is the escargot, and I don't know if I could ever eat snails. Just don't know. I mean, they look kind of like buttery things, but I don't know. I'd have a lasagna if I was going into that situation. Lasagna and a samurai.
That'll fill you up as well, won't it?
Yeah.
Someone to get on, platform above, under platforms above, someone to have that though. They see lasagna and they'd be like, that's all for me. It's proper. It's a gnarly film, and that I guess it's like a class commentary type thing. And it's one of those films where when you're watching it, you know, it strikes up conversations, doesn't it? So whoever you're watching it with, you're like, well, what would you do? What would you do? How would you get out of there? What could he do? And it is pretty brutal, you know. There are some moments,
and it's really well made as well. Like, also, a guy gets shit on his face, like he's climbing up his rope, and someone shits on his face.
So when someone pulls down their pants and shits at him, like
you see it in real time.
You see it in real time. I mean, could you do that if you're called upon to suddenly do it?
What do you mean? Like if
I feel like I get stage fright.
Even if, like, you were comfortable with that situation and you were, like, completely confident, I don't think you could just...
Unless it was one of those where, you know, sometimes where you're like, I need to go, and it's... And all it needs is the very slightest push. And
you just pull the cheeks apart so it doesn't catch the sides. Slips right out.
I mean, yeah. I was impressed. I was impressed by that moment, if anything. Like, I clapped. I stood up and I went... What a man.
Also, how do you aim? I mean, like, normally you have like a seat to kind of guide, like a seat guidance system. That's not there in this situation.
He's right on the edge of that platform as well. He could have easily slipped backwards, fallen to his death with his kecks around his ankles.
The guy could have just grabbed his kecks, pulled it down.
When you pull down someone's trousers, I've been having this debate with, I've mentioned her once already, but my girlfriend, Charlie. When someone gets their trousers pulled down, she calls it kegged.
We call it kegged as well.
You call it kegged as well?
In the Midlands, yeah, kegged.
But what do you call it, kegged? She's not from the Midlands. She's from, like, southwest. I call it kecked.
Yeah, well, it's probably all from the same origin.
Yeah. I'm not saying something's wrong or right, you know. I know.
Did you get kegged at school?
Pants kegged? Down. I don't think so. Not at school.
PE, Dieter, my mate. Kegged me good.
As long as you had your pants on, as long as you had your
all came
on.
Down. All came down in the middle of a football field.
Winkle out, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably was kegged, but what I've done is I've just repressed it. I've just gone, no, I'm the one who done the kegging. No.
Yeah.
Didn't do that either.
That was my number three. What was What was Andy's number three?
Andy's number three was Possessor.
Okay, well, we won't talk about that yet. I'm pretty sure that'll come back up.
So, I put my number three. Am we doing my number three?
No, what's yours?
So, my number three is Freaky. So, I've decided to put Freaky because I liked it so much more than I thought I would. It was just a really fun film. Like, and even though it was like a combination of genres and, you know, it was obviously initially pitched as Freaky Friday the 13th, so it was kind of like taking on both of those. I just loved it, and I think Vince Vaughn's performance was great. The lead actress, who I think has just been cast in the new Ant-Man film as well. So what's her name? Catherine Newton. So she I think she was great. I'll never forget loads of stuff from this film, like Vince Vaughn's funny run.
Wine bottle in the neck.
That was good. But yeah, it was one of those films. Like, we've already discussed Escape Room, which is like a PG-13 wannabe Saw light movie. Whereas this just goes, right, we could be that kind of film. And in terms of like Happy Death Day, where that was like not really gory, I don't think you saw much blood at all, and people kind of got killed off screen. I think that happened. I can't remember. This was like, it just didn't give a crap. This was so gory. And so the kills were like amazing. And in terms of a concept, I just had a lot of fun with it.
This was in my top five until I started to think about earlier in the year. And then Underwater and The Platform ended up on the list.
Maybe because we watched it not so long ago, it's still sort of fresh in my mind is the reason it made the top five.
It would be in my top 10, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But I had a lot of fun with it, and I kind of, it's definitely going to be one of those films you kind of watch. It's definitely a film to watch with people as well. So obviously once lockdown's over, I'll say, I'm not going to the pub. I'm not going to the cinema. I'm going, get over my gaff to watch Freaky, and then people can tell me it's naff.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we on now? What number?
On your number two.
Two, okay. Speaking of number twos, I went with Possessor as my number two of 2020. Possessor, directed by Brandon. It is Brandon, isn't it? Brandon Cronenberg. Son of David Cronenberg. Is this on your list?
This is my number one.
Okay, so let's wait till we do our number ones to talk about it properly. Okay. Yeah. What's your number two?
My number two is The Invisible Man, which obviously you've already mentioned. Definitely a film I'd like to watch again, but one that had a big impact on me. As I was saying, I saw it at the cinema, and I watched it in a very small cinema with like maybe 12 seats. It was like in Kingsbridge. Okay. And there's a moment in this film where, like, I was obviously so tense that somebody who worked in the cinema came in to, like, obviously, I don't know, do you know, they pop their head in sometimes like that, don't they? And I was so tense in a particular scene, and he'd obviously quietly come into the thing, and I honestly shit my pants. Not literally, but I went, shit, this guy. And he was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? But
it's the most tense, in terms of like suspense, it's the best made suspense film in a long time, I think. And
Elizabeth Moss, I'm a bit hot and cold with her. Sometimes I think she is absolutely great, and other times I think, God, she might be a little bit awful. So, for example, I saw there's a movie called Her Smell, where she plays like a sort of drug addicted, self-destructive punk rocker. And maybe it's just because she's such a good actress, but coming out of that film, I was like, I hate her, just because of her character, mainly because of her character. Yeah. But yeah, in this, she's absolutely great, and she's like a great leading lady, and you know, when you're really rooting for someone when they're fighting back. And I just love the modern take on a lot of the stuff. I might like to have seen some more of the science stuff, because it was kind of like, this bloke's got a suit, makes him invisible.
He was the guy from Haunting of
Hill House. He was the guy from Bly Manor, and of Hill House, you're right. But yeah, so tense, shocking. There were moments in this where I was like, holy shit, did that just happen?
Just remember one of the death scenes that kind of comes out of nowhere.
One of the death scenes is like absolutely nuts.
Someone else gets smacked on the head out of nowhere.
There's just it is a great a really great film, and it's Lee Wano, isn't it? Big Lee Lee Wano, who's obviously hitting out the park with stuff like Upgrade, and he's making Escape from New York, and he's making Wolfman. So really excited to see what we get from him, because he's really, really, really impressed by this.
Yeah, I think in terms of the way he built the suspension in that film, and like used the negative space on the scene, it's masterful. It really
and there
is.
Were some fight sequences as well, which were like just amazing. Like you kind of imagine a woman fighting an invisible man. Okay, I can kind of understand what I would see. It just kept shocking you, and you know there are certain moments you're like, right, now he's gonna get it, the invisible man. You wait, and then he'd still end up like coming out on top. Maybe the only thing is the ending was a bit, for me, the ending was like, okay, I can kind of, a bit predictable, maybe. Okay, I can kind of see what's going to happen now.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean. I wouldn't that
still effective though, I think.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. Again, that would be in my top 10 for sure. I mean, it'd probably be higher up. I think I've not gone for, my top 10 isn't like a quality thing. It's more like a preference. In terms of the kind of movies that I would want to watch again and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The films I vibe with the most. My number one might piss you off, because it's a UK 2020 film. It's not, I think it came out in the US last year, but I only saw it this year. So it's a 2020 film to me. And it's a film that I vibe with so much. I just love everything about it. Richard Stanley's Colour Out of Space, starring Nicolas Cage. It's so batshit. It's really nasty at times, in the best way. It's kind of shockingly nasty. Have you seen it?
We did a bloody episode on this.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't even know what I rated it. But
We've done a lot.
Just before
recording today, that was the one where I went, oh shit, that was 2020. But because it's like labelled as in 2019 on IMDb and Letterboxd, I think it got a little bit lost in the mix, but definitely one that I probably would say is at least an honorable mention for me.
It's the kind of film that, like, it's got such character to it. Like, if you watch this as a 13-year-old, it's the kind of film you would still think back to and go, fucking hell, that was a mental film. Like, Nicolas Cage's accent is insane. Like, some of the acting is bizarre. Cheech or Chong. It's got some dodgy CGI, not too much. But it's got, spoiler alert, the mum and the son mutate into like one weird creature thing that starts to like dribble all over the sister character. It's like, it's unreal. Like, it's really unreal.
That was super effective as one of the like visual moments of 2020, where I was just like, you know, when you're like, looking away, you're a bit like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And it's
body horror wise.
Freak out kind of stuff at the tail end of the film, where the colour's taken over. It becomes like everything starts getting distorted and fizzy and kind of surreal in a way. It's, I don't know, man. It's like, I'm this kind of film, I'm going to get a Blu-ray, and I want to get like a nice edition of it, because I just kind of love it.
A bit cliche to describe films as a trip, but I definitely think this is one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling I know what your number one is. But yeah. I won't spoil it. You go.
I said, oh, right, okay. Yeah, so my number one is Possessor, which we've obviously mentioned. Well, I don't think we've talked about it much already. Strange that we didn't do an episode on this, but I guess when it was released, it was a bit all over the place, wasn't it? It wasn't easy to get hold of. Sorry, going back to Andy, he's put Possessor as number three, but he did put The Invisible Man as his number one. So he's up there with me on Lee Wano. We were both impressed by that. But yeah, Possessor was like one of those films where I was like, I was so worried that the hype of it was going to outweigh my actual enjoyment of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something felt quite special about it, because I watched it on the online BFI London Film Festival. So the screening, like, you had to be sat there with your headphones on, ready, waiting for it to start. So it felt like a bit
weird.
It felt like a bit of an event.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a combination of, it's like a uber violent science fiction, body horror, sensory overload, mind bending, cyberpunk, techno noir. I'm just reading off some of the things I wrote about. Techno noir thriller with a concept that I feel like, and I think I may have mentioned this when we were chatting about it. I can't remember if we were chatting about it on the quiz. We chat about it at some point. But the concept initially feels so simple. It's like, again, that's a really simple concept. You can explain that in like a sentence. But the potential of that as a concept is like unlimited for like in directions you can take it and where you can take it. And in terms of like the visual style, it felt like it was unlike anything I felt like I'd seen before. It kind of feels like it'd be a great double bill with Upgrade, because that's like obviously a more action orientated version of something similar, not the same concept obviously, but something similar. And I just really loved it. I loved the performances from the main actors, and you know, again, plenty of moments where I was like sort of half looking at the screen because it was super gruesome. Some of the gore was great, but I just really liked the story as well. I think it took it in a very interesting direction.
It's one of the most visually interesting films. Like some of the not transformation scenes, but there's like the mind melding kind of bits, I guess. I don't know how they did some of the stuff. It looks like they've done some 3D modeling or something, and they're kind of melting. It looks really good.
I'd like to see how. I mean, I probably need to watch some behind the scenes stuff. You know, remember when there was like a weird bit of like floating matter, just sort of vibrating, floating matter. It kind of felt like, I don't know. When you were talking about VR earlier, it kind of made me feel that was a similar sort of experience. It's the first time I've watched a film, obviously in 2D, where I kind of felt a little bit like I was in the head of some of the characters. And I think like sometimes that's so easy to get wrong. Like, right, you're in the head of this character, like without doing POV shots, or with doing POV shots, it can be a bit like, oh, I've seen it all before. But something about this just really did get under my skin. And I was so glad, because as I said, I was so hyped for it. And often getting swept up by the hype is something that happens to me a lot. And I'm quite guilty of, sometimes I'm guilty of like trying to adjust my opinion on a film based on how much I anticipated it. So I'm like, oh, I don't think I really enjoyed it, but I was really looking forward to that. So I kind of want to say, yeah, it was great.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, as you get older, I think you get more adept at recognizing stuff that you actually like. Right, and like, so you're able to kind of separate it a bit more from hype or like peer pressure or I don't know, whatever. Like you become more accustomed to your own taste. But I love that a film like this is getting made. Like, it's one of the most unique films. Like, if you think about all the other movies on the list, His House, Hosts, all great, Invisible Man. But then you've got Possessor, which is completely a different thing. Mm. Like, it's so unique, so weird. Kind of like, he definitely followed in his father's footsteps.
Yeah.
I wonder if some people see it as a negative. I mean, I don't think it is, but...
No, not at all. I think if your father's like one of the kings of like body horror movies and stuff, and then suddenly you've made a film and actually it's pretty fucking awesome. And it kind of captures the vibe of those films, but also stands up on its own and has its own identity. That's insane. Like, that's really impressive.
Did you see his other film? Antiviral, I think it was called. I've not seen it.
No, so I think maybe Zoe mentioned it when we did the nice Chianti stuff. She mentioned Antiviral. So I should probably check that out, because I knew absolutely nothing about it, and it was 2012.
I'll
have a look.
Yeah, I need to watch that as well. Yeah, it's good. That's a good number one. Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Andy's number one was Invisible Man. He put Possessor as number three as well. I think we covered most of what he said. The only thing I was going to mention was potential anticipated stuff for 2021. So I was going to reel these off just we can chat about them maybe if you want. But so obviously Candyman finally getting released, hopefully at some point. I don't even know what the release date is at the moment. May possibly. I don't know. Looking forward to that. Obviously, you get a lot of Resident Evil this year with a film, a Netflix show, a new game, and I think an animated series as well. So if you're a Resi fan, 2021's the year for all your stuff, all your content. We're finally going to get Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I was looking forward to just because it felt like it was really captured the vibe. I don't know if you've just seen trailers, but interested to see with kids as like the lead characters in it as well. Hopefully that's not too naff. The Green Knight, so the A24
that looks
movie.
Cool. Yeah.
That looks really good. That was supposed to come out last year as well, but didn't. That got put back. Halloween Kills, obviously, we're going to get, I'm assuming, in October, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be coming in October. Yeah. Edgar Wright's film is coming out.
That's next on my list, yeah. Last Night in Soho. So I don't know much about this, but I know it's supposed to have some horror elements to it, right?
I think so. I don't know. I was under the impression it was like a kind of a giallo type thing, right? Is that not the case? Who knows?
I'm not sure. I thought I heard that as well, yeah. And apart from that, I put Army of the Dead down as well as Zack Snyder, which obviously we discussed at the horror news at the top of the show. Anything else that you're thinking of?
I'm actually really excited about Halloween Kills. Mortal Kombat, I think they're doing it again.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet Place 2, Godzilla versus Kong.
But the way you said it then was like A Quiet Place 2 tagline, Godzilla versus Kong. Well, I didn't know that. I will watch A Quiet Place 2, but I feel like I've seen the trailer now, because I did go to the cinema a fair few times when we were allowed in 2020, and obviously even when it got delayed they were still showing that trailer, so I've probably seen the trailer 20 times maybe.
Yeah.
So I need to not see that trailer again until I see the film, because I'm going to be so over it.
I'll tell you what I'm actually excited about. I don't know if these films are coming out in 2021, but Rob Savage has filmed his follow-up. They've shot their follow-up to Host.
Yeah, I think they finished filming, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very curious to see what the hell they've been up to. Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. There we go.
Yeah.
2020. That was the year.
I haven't got my notes up, so I don't know the outro off the top of my head. I think we're going to rejiggle that soon anyway. So I'll tell you what, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, go to the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board Advisors, and we asked people for a little bit of feedback to see what you want to see more of. Do you want to see some interviews with filmmakers? Do you not want to see interviews with filmmakers? Do you want to see more features? So, I don't know, top horror westerns, that kind of thing.
Can't wait to do that list, man.
Yeah. Bone Tomahawk. That'll be right on top. Go to the Facebook group. Let us know what you think, and then we can do more of what you want.
I guess it's a tried and tested formula, but you know, if anybody was particularly keen on seeing more or less of certain things, then we're very interested to know about it. So
give us
a shout.
Sweet. All right. That's it. Done. We're done for the year.
Thank you very much. We're done for the year. There we go. Next week we are doing an anticipated and controversial choice. We're doing Congo, which let's not say anything else, because we'll save all the good stuff for the episode.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. I'll catch you in a bit.
Lovely. See you later, dude.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.